Thank you to all of our praise team. I know I say this so often, but I'm so excited to have the help and to have all the musical instruments. It's just so wonderful. I'm so grateful. Now, all right, this morning as we turn into our Bibles, into the book of Psalms, and I know some of you that know me well, you're going to be really surprised I'm in this book. I mean, how did I end up here? This book of Psalms. Yeah, I do like that book. All right, let's turn to Psalms 35. We're going to read two scriptures this morning. And for in a little while, we will be, if you want to look, it's harder to find the book of Judges. So we're going to be looking into that book in just a little bit. So Judges is in the books into the Old Testament. But for now, let's look at Psalms 35, verse 27 and 28. Let's read that, then we'll look at this a little slower. It says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad." I'm reading out of the New King James Version. "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and your praise all day long." You know, I think sometimes we miss some words that I kind of feel like are really important. And it starts out in verse 27 with those words, "let them." So if you want to turn over quickly to Psalms 149, this is more like a teaching before the preaching. In the olden days, we used to call it preaching. Ah, never mind. Psalms 149. I want to draw your attention to these words because I think they're so important. Verse 1 of 149 says, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints." So I want to draw your attention to, now we're not talking about other places. So when you get together and you're with the God's people and you're in the assembly of the saints, I didn't write this for this, I'm just reading it. It says, "Now let them, let Israel rejoice in your maker, let the children of Zion be joyful in your king." Now look, it says in verse 3, "let them." So when we're in assembly together, when we're gathered together worshiping the Lord, it says, "let them praise his name." So in order to praise him, we have to be able to let you praise the Lord, let you raise your hand, let you glorify God in song, or, you know, whatever moves you and inspires you to praise the God that we serve. "Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp." We have tambourine. Is this the box drum? That there. I mean, who else can sit on her instruments? I mean, her dad can't sit on the guitar. I mean, Ashley doesn't sit on the keyboard. I mean, who else can sit on their instrument? I just love that beat and what Savannah does there. That's great. "Let them praise the Lord." All these instruments are here to praise the Lord. We're not here for entertainment. We're not here for ourselves. We're just here to magnify the Lord. We'll get back to that. But verse 4 says, "Let the Lord take pleasure in his people." And verse 5 says, let them, let the praises high God. I'm not, that's really not my emphasis this morning, but it's so important for me to let you realize that we need to let ourselves, you need to let yourself go and praise the Lord. You need to let yourself go because he's saved us. He has changed us from old creature to a new creature and created us in such a way that now old things are passed away and all things have become new. My old ways have passed away and everything becomes new. I'm so grateful. So, you know, we have to allow ourselves to be inspired by his word and allow ourselves to be inspired to the place we are magnifying the Lord. What happens when we magnify the Lord? It gets greater. It gets bigger. Look at when you magnify something, what you see is enlarged. And what you see is revealed in a different way. When we begin to praise the Lord and we begin to see the Lord and see the scriptures in the light of what he wants, he begins to reveal them to us. And yeah, we get excited about it. I want you to be excited. I want you to be encouraged that we can be a great part of worshiping the Lord and taking part in him. You know, when I look at this and I slow down and I think to myself, no, you shouldn't read that because a lot of places of worship don't allow that. I don't know. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Be glad. I was talking to Brother John this morning and we said, you know what? We are glad we are on the right side of the dirt. We are glad to be alive. Huh? Come on. We got to be enthusiastic. We got to be motivated. Something that we're waking up. The Lord has gifted us with another day. Let's be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I believe that God is interested in every part of our life. And prosperity is viewed some places as, you know, just a prosperity of wealth. But I think God wants to encourage us and bring prosperity into our hearts and into our inner man. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bring love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Better move out of the way. I'm coming through. That was just free. Tracy would like that. I'm missing them. Aren't you missing them? We miss you. Maybe they'll see this. I don't know. But we miss them. But, you know, it's what God wants to do in our inner man. He wants to bring us to the place where we're bearing fruit. And we're glad in life. We're glad to be here. We're glad to be a child of the living God. I know I say that a lot about the living God, but, you know, I'm so glad that he's supernatural. His ways are far above our ways. His thinking is far above our thinking, and he is high and lifted up. With him, without him. With him, without him. With him, without him. Believe it or not, I'm actually going somewhere else. I just try to encourage us this morning to know when we get together, we can praise God and we can be excited and we can serve the Lord with gladness. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. I know that doesn't seem possible. And I know some days we have good days and bad days. But I want us to have more good days than bad days. Because when in my life, when I go to work or I do, you know, see different people, it seems like people are having more bad days than good days. God wants us to prosper to the place where we are glad and magnify him. He's our light. He's our hope. He's our everything. He's our A to Z. The scripture talks about the righteous cause in verse 27. And that's why I said, if you want to turn with me, let's turn to Judges, verse 13. Judges, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Judges. So there you are. Yeah, he's important. I'm not important. Let's turn it. Thank you. It's been a long time since I quoted that. I used to be able to quote all 66 books. I don't know if I could do that anymore. But let's go to Judges 13. We're going to read the first three scriptures. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, there was a certain man from Jorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. That's the important thing. Okay, so dad, father at this time, Manoah, and his wife were barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." Isn't that interesting? How many times have we heard that story, but we think of the New Testament and we kind of relate that to something else. But an angel of the Lord came and said to Manoah and his wife, "You're going to bear a son." Now this was before conception, completely before conception. So, you know, God knows us, and he knows us before conception. And he said, "You're going to bear a son," and they were going to bear a son. And he said, "When he's born, he shall be a Nazarite, and he shall be committed, and he shall be dedicated to the Lord." When this boy was born, his parents named him Samson. And Samson was born a Nazarite. And under the Nazarites, they lived under a vow not to eat or drink anything from the fruit of the vine or any razor to come near to cutting his hair. God was setting a man to be deliverer of Israel because Israel was in the power of the Philistines. And I've often wondered in my mind, even this week, I said, "Lord, well, you know, what is this about, you know, killing the Philistines? Always like these people, they're human beings, but yet they had nothing to do with the God Jehovah that we serve and love, but they served a pagan god, and at this time the Philistines served a pagan god called Dagon." God wanted to deliver the Israelites out of their hands, and the reason they got into a bad place and into the hands of the Philistines is because they kind of was on a roller coaster ride. You know, sometimes they served the Lord and then they would falter. They would serve the Lord and be glad in him, and then they would walk away from him. And I kind of feel like sometimes, as I look back over our life and our nation, I get a little really concerned, because back in the 50s and 60s, it seems like it was revival, and then it was rebellion, and then it was revival, and then it was rebellion. And the end of the story usually doesn't end well in God's word when people walk away from God. What kind of a cause are you and I thinking about this morning? What kind of a righteous cause do we want in our life? God wanted to deliver the Israelites, but they wanted the Israelites and the people of God and the people of the world to serve him and praise him and worship the God Jehovah, the living God that he really is. Egypt got in trouble with the Lord because they served gods that looked good to the eye, but they did not have eyes that could see. People came from afar because the statues and the idols and the things that they made were amazing. They're amazing to today to see. But they were not living. God wanted to deliver the Israelites from the hands of the Philistines. And Samson was going to be that man. At least that was God's plan. So Samson was born, and God had a plan for this man that he never had before, and he's never had since. It was like he was making a Superman. I mean, this man was given extraordinary power and extraordinary strength that never was seen in a human being before nor since, because this was God's will for Samson. Samson was born, and as he began to be raised, he realized there was something different about him. And the scripture says, and for three chapters, and we can't go into all of that, but in Judges, it's amazing. He began to realize the power that God had instilled in him as a human being. And one day he was walking, and a lion attacked him. And the Bible says, if you are a believer, the Bible says, the lion attacked him and he tore the lion apart, killed him with his bare hands. And he realized, wow, the Spirit of God came on him in a way that was unbelievable. How many would have liked to have seen that? Wow. Come on, we're talking about real life stories here that almost seem like a fable. It almost seems like a fable. If I wasn't a believer, if I wasn't in God, if I didn't believe the scriptures, I would say, this is science fiction. Huh? Wouldn't you say this is sci-fi? But it's true. It's true. And that's why God put it in there for us to believe and be encouraged that God can do anything with anyone if it's his will and when he chooses. So Samson grew. Now, the problem with machoism and strength is there's times that Samson really, you know, didn't always keep the Lord in mind because he found that he had a strength beyond any man alive. But he did want to keep the vows. He did want to keep his mother's wishes, God's wishes, and he was dedicated to the Lord. So he found himself in a place at times where he wanted to deliver Israelites, and the Spirit of God would come upon him. Now, this I'm going to throw this out. This isn't what I'm going to talk about much, but I just seems to me, in the Old Testament, it just seems to me the theme that I see is many times God came on people, where in the New Testament, it seems like he comes in to us. He comes into our spirit, into our heart. It's just something to contemplate a little. It seems like God came on him. But God came on Samson, and there was a time that Samson killed 30 Philistines. So let's get back to that thing. What is this about killing? I realize that when we teach our people and teach our generations to serve the Lord, we are going to be teaching them about the Lord God Jehovah in the scriptures, in the Bible, that God that we know and believe in. Huh? And God's not concerned about those that serve pagan gods and gods of idols. So at that time, God wanted to kill the Philistines to rid the land of evil. He wanted to rid, I'm just speaking the truth. He wanted to rid the land of evil and those that did not acknowledge the Lord God Jehovah. So Samson killed 30 Philistines. There was a reason for that. I'm not going to go into all of that. But his power was beginning to be manifested. And one time when Samson got upset and they weren't kind to Samson, he got upset and he went out and he caught 300 foxes. And he tied their tails together. Now, have you ever seen a fox in the wild? I have. They can run very fast. How in the world would you run and catch 300 foxes? There's gray fox and red fox predominantly. They're like cousins, but they do not mix. When you see a gray fox, that's not a red fox. When you see a red fox, that's not a gray fox. And that's free. That's just free information. They're cousins, but they don't intermingle. They don't marry. They don't intermarry. They're complete two different sets of animals. But Samson went out. Now, how in the world he did that is a mystery to me. But yet it had to be because the Spirit of God came on to give him that strength. And he went out and he set these foxes' tails on fire. And he sent them out. And what's the reason for that? Because he was destroying their crops, their vineyards, their cornfields because they had upset him. And again, God was trying to rid the land of evil. He was destroying their food crops. It doesn't sound like a kind thing, but I'm trying to think of it like in the light of what God would think. He has to have a reason. God always has to have a reason. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. Because Samson was fighting for a righteous cause, deliver the Israelites. And so the day came, And this is interesting to me because even though Samson, you know, didn't always keep the Lord in mind, he was still anointed by God and God was on him. And there was a day came when 1,000 Philistines, and you have to remember, you know, when we think of 1,000 people, we live in a day and age in which there were 6 or 7 billion people. Back then, 1,000 people was a lot. The population was not like we know it. So 1,000 Philistines stood before him, and the Spirit of God came on him, and they got into a fight, and Samson fought alone. He fought alone. And he found a jawbone of a donkey, and it says he slew. He went out and he slew, and they began a big slaughter of the Philistines. We'll end your paganistic ways. We'll end your pagan gods. And he slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. And the Bible says when he was done, he was so exhausted, so thirsty, he was almost near death. Even though God had been come on him, and he was doing the will of God, he was so thirsty, he said, "Lord, don't let me fall into the hands of the Philistines. If I do, I'll be at their mercy." That was God's plan, to keep him out of the hands of the Philistines. And so God raised up a spring right there in front of Samson, so he didn't pass away of thirst and exhaustion. And out of a rock came a spring, and he began to drink, and his strength began to return to him. And after that battle, and after Israel saw that, you know, this was God's man of the hour, Samson became the judge, and he judged Israel for 20 years. So, you know, things didn't go along pretty good, but then as we begin, you know, when we're in God and then we're out of God, we're in God's will and we're out, Samson found himself in a spot in his life when things began to change. The righteous cause and his priority of doing the will of God changed. All of a sudden, he met a lady, and her name was Delilah. He was never to tell anyone his secret, his strength, what his vows was. And he met this lady, and her name was Delilah. And he got very involved with her. And the scripture says, he fell in love. Well, let me tell you, if you fall in love, it will change your life. Now, sometimes for that, for the good, but Samson found himself loving Delilah so much that he was making her a priority over the will of God. There. We can end the service right now. Goodbye. Why am I saying this? Because Samson's strength, you know, he was dedicated to God and he was here for a purpose. But he began to make Delilah the priority, and Delilah began to think, hey, I know how I can get to this man. And you know what the sad part is? Delilah was doing this for money. You know, the one that betrayed Jesus was doing it for money. So she began to tug at his heart. And because she was of a Philistine, she did not love God like Samson did and did not understand the word of God and did not serve the Lord. So she began to fight against, you know, began to want to take down this man. And she unfortunately began to, you know, plague him and talk to him and nag him, like we would say. So scripture says for 7 days she tried, and I'm not going to go into those details because they're not as important as what I want to say, but Samson began to be nagged at, and finally, you know, he said to her, finally he told her the truth, finally he just couldn't take it anymore. He said, if a razor was taken to my head, I'd be as any other man. So he gave up his righteous cause, he gave up that which he was born to do, because he got his eyes on Delilah and away from the God that we serve. So while he slept, she had him come in, and they took a razor to his head. And when he woke up, he said, I will escape and I will kill the Philistines. I will be the man that I've always been for God. And he found that it didn't happen that way. The Spirit of the Lord lifted from him. for that moment, the Spirit of the Lord lifted from him, and they took this judge and this man of power and this man that had supernatural strength, and they took him, and they were merciless to him. They were heartless. The man that stood for God, the man that had all the power, the man of the hour, they took him and they gouged out his eyes and they sent him down into another town. Starts with G. It escapes my mind. Gaza. Anyway, they sent him down to into prison, into town, and they made him grind corn. Samson's life was changed because he left the righteous cause. I'm concerned. I'm really concerned. I'm concerned for us. I'm concerned for us as a nation. Because whenever our nation begins to leave the principles and leave the four founders' reason that we're on this side of the ocean and surrounded by oceans, we should be concerned and we should be ever prayerful and we should be in our minds. Yeah, my heart's on it. My mind's on it. Because this, we're fighting for a righteous cause. We're fighting to keep freedom. We're fighting to keep Christianity. We're fighting to keep God in our lives, in our hearts, in our schools, in our nation. Huh? Don't we want to keep God in it? But they took Samson and he became just like any ordinary man, and they were merciless to him because they had their captor. They had the one that, you know, stood for God and had was trying to take out paganism, and so there he was. He found himself in the grinding corn and in a bad spot. But in this bad spot, God continually began to work with Samson. He continually worked with him. And you know what? I believe Samson became repentant. And I'll show you that in a few minutes. But you know, Samson began to realize that he had made a mistake. And he had left the righteous cause that he was striving for and what we should strive for. And the Philistines were victorious at that moment. They looked very, very victorious. But Samson knew. He knew the vows. He knew God and began to become repentant in his heart. So there was a time when they gathered all the Philistines together. They brought the temple. You know, back in the old Roman Colosseums, they'd bring them all together. And at that time, they brought, the scripture says they brought 3,000 people of the city together. And again, I want you to keep in mind the population. 3,000 was a big number back then, and they brought them all together, and they were going to worship and praise the God of Dagon for their victor and for the captive and the man of God. They were going to claim victory. They were going to praise their God, Dagon, and they were going to make fun, and they ridiculed. But God had another plan. God's will somehow needs to surface. And Samson in his heart. How many of us, we've all made such bad mistakes. But God demonstrates his love to us. Because he demonstrated his love to Samson in not turning away, but he kept his eyes on Samson and the will to destroy. You think this is bad? It sounds like a lot, 3,000. Think of Noah. Think of Noah's flood. God is not happy with those that absolutely refuse. You know, the sin that will take people far from God is just refusing to believe in Christ. So the Philistines got him together and they were happy. The man of God was caught. But in the arena, where over 3,000 ungodly Philistines were in the leaders of the city, and as they were cheering, and as the entertainment was getting at an all-time high, and as things was going wonderful, and it looked like everything was, you know, wonderful and gleeful, and things, celebration was going on. They brought this man from the prison and brought him in, this Samson. They brought him in with his eyes no longer able to see. And they brought him into the temple with all these people, and Samson said to the ones guiding him, because they could not see, he said, I just need something to lean upon. He said, just let me lean. Wow. The demonstration of God's Holy Spirit to give us a second chance and to continually do the will is amazing to me. So Samson said to the ones with him, I just need to rest. And he put his hands on two large pillars, and said, God, let your spirit come upon me again. And it happened. It happened. The Spirit of God came upon Samson, and he pushed with all of his might, and there was a rumble, and pretty soon the temple began to quake, because this temple is built on these two main pillars, and away he pushed, and the Spirit of God came on him. Now let me tell you something, the Spirit of God doesn't come on you if he's angry with you, if he refuses you, if he doesn't love you. The Spirit of God comes on us and in us because he demonstrates his love for us, that no matter what age, no matter where we are in life, no matter where we position we are, no matter what age, he's there for us. He's there for us. Samson. It's his will. It's his will. It's dynamic. I don't know if I'm portraying this like I feel it, or like I believe it, or like I see it, but I'm certainly trying. Because Samson demonstrated that God in all of his mercy continually works with us, and at the last moment, he said, God came on him again to do his will, and the strength and the power of God came on him, and he pushed the pillars aside, the temple crumbled, and the temple crashed down, and the scripture said all 3,000 met their deaths. It's because they served the enemy, they served the devil, and God had a plan to rid the land of the Philistines, and the Bible says in the end moment, Samson did more in his last moments than in his entire life combined. Wow. So interesting in Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the faith, the hall of faith, the hall of faith. In chapters 11, we're not going there, but I want you to know in Hebrews 11:32, this man who didn't always do things right, who made mistakes, but in Hebrews, now we're talking, you know, centuries and centuries later, he was mentioned. Samson's name is in Hebrews 11:32 as one of the heroes, the one of the heroes of all of faith. Don't ever give up on yourself. Don't ever give up on others. Don't ever give up on people who have left God. Don't give up on people who have left the church. Don't give up on people. Because God doesn't give up on us. God never gives up on us. Because he's willing and he's able to accomplish that which he pleases. Strive for a righteous cause. Strive for a cause bigger than us. Let's strive together. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the word of God that's a light into our pathway and a lamp into our feet. I thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll just motivate us and inspire us in such a way, God, that we'll leave here encouraged, knowing that we can walk for you, and when we make mistakes, you're there to pick us up. We need picked up sometimes, God, but I know that you're working a work. You're working a work. We accept that in our lives. We accept you, Lord. We accept that, and we believe that, and we want that. God, I pray that you'd move with every one of us this morning. I pray that your word would just encourage us and enlighten us and cause us to move forward, cause us to walk ahead, cause us to walk forward and not behind. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Minister to us, not just in this moment, but in the moments after. Minister to us today, this afternoon, and may we think about your word for, even this coming week. how you can bring us back and you can raise us up and let us sit, according to the New Testament, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Bible stories that you've given us to know that you're with us to the very end, and you never leave us or forsake us. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful and matchless and holy name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks so much for being here. See you next Sunday or soon. Gene and I may not be here. We're going to be heading up north. But God bless you. Thanks for being here. You're dismissed.